In the gospel reading today, we hear about the events that happened when Our Lady and Saint Joseph brought Jesus into the temple for the presentation. And at that time, an elderly man named Simeon saw them and spoke to them about the child and said that this child is going to be a sign that will be contradicted. The word contradicted literally means spoken against. He has been spoken against for 2,000 years, and he continues to be spoken against today. More than that, Simeon said that he's going to be the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And that's going to be a matter of a personal choice. And the reason that that becomes the personal choice is exactly what St. Paul is talking about in the first reading today. We hear about him talking about someone who is an heir, but the heir, as long as he is a child, he says, is no different from a slave. In other words, the father dies, the mother dies, everything is given to this child. The child, however, is still very young, and so there are guardians and stewards assigned to care for the child, to make all the decisions, to make sure his education is in good shape, all these sorts of things that they had to do. The child, even though he technically owns everything, has no right. And until the day that the father has set for the child to take over everything, to receive the inheritance, St. Paul says he's no different from a slave. Well, here he's talking about the Jewish people. The law was their guardian until the time set by the father. And that time, as he puts it, when the fullness of time had come, the time set by the Father had arrived. And he says, he sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to deliver from the law those who were subjected to it. So now we have the freedom of the children of God. In other words, the heir has now received the inheritance. Now, there are a couple of things that we need to think about with this. We've all certainly seen these situations where somebody wins the lottery and suddenly has millions and millions of dollars, and it totally destroys their lives. They have no idea how to handle this, and it becomes the worst thing that ever happened to them. But even in a good situation, you say, okay, this child is an heir. Let's say, using our own modern way of looking at things, he becomes 18. Totally wise, right? Can make great decisions. Everything is going to be great with this kid. Just inherited however much. He's not going to make any mistakes, right? Yeah. So even if he's trying to be responsible, he still doesn't have the experience, and he doesn't have the wisdom. He's probably going to make some pretty stupid decisions. The point that St. Paul is making is that you and I now are the heirs. We are the ones who have received the inheritance. We are now considered mature enough to be able to receive what has been given. And the inheritance that we have is literally everything. Because the inheritance that is given to us is God. And God is all in all. And everything exists within God, which means that our inheritance literally is everything. And how are we dealing with it? Are we being responsible? Are we living the way that our Father asks us to live? I would imagine if one would look at the will, when someone is just a child, the Father didn't just say, well, everything goes to my kid. He probably laid out a little bit of what that child's supposed to be doing. Our Heavenly Father has done exactly that. He's laid out what we're supposed to do. He's given us responsibility. He has said to us, you are now of age and you can do this. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes, but if we're trying and we're trying to be responsible, He's fine with that. The problem is when we're not being responsible. The problem is when we've just won the lottery of sorts and now it has destroyed our lives because we don't know how to handle the freedom that has been given to us. And because we don't know how to handle the freedom, then we do exactly what Jesus said. Anyone who sins becomes a slave to sin. We would rather go back into slavery than to have the freedom of the children of God. Isn't that exactly the pattern that we saw when the Jewish people came out of Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to the desert just to die? Better that we would be in Egypt and be slaves than to be out here. Really? You'd rather be a slave than to have the freedom. But isn't that what we keep doing? Now you look then at what Simeon says about Our Lady, that a sword would pierce her heart. I don't know that there's much that's going to pierce a mother's heart more than the fact that her children are doing the opposite of what she taught them, especially if they have rejected their father, and especially if they have decided that they don't want their brother. Because of our freedom, we no longer are slaves. We don't look at God as master. We call him Father. That's not an objective statement now. That's a subjective one. That means that because of the freedom our Lord has won for us, we have entered into a subjective relationship with God. He is our Father. It is one thing to acknowledge he is God. That's just an objective statement. To call him Father is a relationship. And for us to reject him, that has to be the thing that pierces Our Lady's heart the most. Certainly you can say her heart was pierced at the time that Jesus was crucified, and it was. But it's not just a matter of pointing a finger at the people who put him on the cross, because he took on the sins of the whole world, which means he took on our sins as well. And so I'm the one who put him on that cross because of my sins. And every time that I decide to do the opposite of what I have been taught, I pierce our Blessed Lady's heart as I stick another nail into our Lord. When we pray the Our Father and we look at that relationship, the very first thing we acknowledge or state after acknowledging that God is our Father is, "Hallowed be thy name." Look how God's name is used in our society. And look at how so many of us use God's name. And then we come up with excuses for it. There is no excuse. Everyone else is doing it. "Oh, I didn't mean it that way." It's like saying, "Sorry, I just spit on you, but I didn't really mean to do that." It's like, "Well, what did you mean then?" It's not okay to be using God's name, because the name is connected with the person. And if we're going to use his name in a way that is wrong, it's a rejection of the person. I used to say to the kids back when I was teaching at St. Agnes, the high school kids, I'd say, "Okay, we get to the point of not using God's name in vain." I'd say, "Think of the person you love the most in the world. It's probably your mom. So think about every time you get angry, every time you get surprised, every time you want to make a point, use your mom's name." I said, "We wouldn't do that because we love our moms too much. And yet we do that with God. And then we make excuses for why it's okay for me to do that. It's because we don't love God enough. That's the only reason why we would do that." And we can come up with whatever excuses that we want, but the reality is we're violating our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then, because we are adopted children of God, we have become sons and daughters of God, we are also sons and daughters of our Blessed Lady. And we are members of Jesus Christ, so He becomes our brother. And we violate Him how many times? And once again, pierce our Blessed Lady's heart. So we see the very things that Simeon talked about continue to happen. But it's different now in the sense that you and I, because we are children of our Heavenly Father, and because we are members of Jesus, and because we have now come to age, we're held responsible. It's no longer just a slave doing something stupid. It's the children doing something stupid. And so it's we who are falling or rising, as the case would be. And if we're going to be the cause of the rise, or Jesus rather is the cause, but if we want to be rising in Him, then we need to ask ourselves some pretty simple questions. How's my spiritual life doing? If I'm going to have a relationship with Him, if I'm going to call God my Father, I'm going to say Jesus is my brother, that He is my Lord, He is my Savior, I have a relationship with Him. That's what happens in your prayer life. The relationship with the Lord. How's that doing? If it's going to be the rise or the fall of many, are you rising up? Are you going deeper in prayer? Are you uniting yourself more and more perfectly with the Lord? How about our moral life? Do I continue to make excuses for my sins, or am I really working at trying to get rid of them, to overcome them? We're weak, and the Lord knows that. And we're going to fall, and He knows that. There's a difference between falling in weakness and acknowledging it and falling because it's really what we want to do and we don't want to change. So are we really working to get rid of our sins? Are we really working to make sure that we are living according to the holiness to which we're called? If we're going to say God is holy, hallowed be Thy name, and we are His sons and daughters, then we are to live according to the freedom of the children of God. Are we doing that? Or have we decided, as I said earlier, that we would rather be slaves? Because anyone's sin becomes a slave of sin. St. Paul challenged it slightly differently, and he said, choose whom you will serve, because everyone has to serve someone. Said, you're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve the Lord. So if we want to try and justify our sins, then we have chosen against the Lord and He has become the cause of our fall. Because we have been given everything and we are choosing against it. Now when I say He's the cause, I don't mean it's His fault. I mean it's because we have been set free from our slavery. And we're choosing against the freedom. He set us free. That is for our good. But that also means that not only do we have the freedom, we have the responsibility that comes with that freedom. And so everything has been given to you. Everything. And maybe that's our problem. It's been handed to us on a silver platter. For all too many of us, if something doesn't cost us anything, if something is too easy, it doesn't mean anything to us. But if we have to work at it, well, then it means a lot to us. We didn't have to do the work, Jesus did. And it has been given to us for free. And maybe we just don't seem to think that it's very valuable because it didn't cost us anything. Look at what it cost him. Again, look at the relationship that we are to have with him. That's where we recognize how much it costs. It's not just, oh, some guy did this, that was nice. It's like, no, the person I love did this. And he did it for me because he loves me. That puts it into a whole different context. And it should mean everything to us. So we listen to what is being presented to us today in the readings. It really gives us opportunity to stop and think what God has done for us. He has given us his Son. He has brought us to be his own children. He has given us freedom. He's given us the responsibility, and he's giving us the call to live a holy life, to become saints. And he has given us an inheritance, which is himself. Now we look at our response. Do we want the freedom? Do we want the responsibility? Are we willing to live according to the way that we're being called to live? Do we really want to develop the spiritual life and grow in love with the Lord? Or do we want to be slaves? He is the rise and the fall of many. And he will be either the rise or the fall of each one of us. But the choice is not his, it's ours. We have to choose him, not give him lip service while our hearts are far from him. Choose him with our whole heart and strive to live the choice that we make so that we really are embracing the freedom that he has won for us and living truly as the children of our Heavenly Father.